Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 405. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Steve Williams?
Yes, after 9 long years in Stunt Granny developmental, I finally got the call-up to the main roster. It's a pleasure to be here. I can't wait to Ty Dillinger my way through this show tonight.
Well, did you see Ty Dillinger at all? Yeah, he had a promo.
He was not there live at all. They did a video package, I think, that aired, but considering he spent a substantial amount of time here in Louisville for Ohio Valley Wrestling, I'm really stunned they didn't trot him out there.
That it's been kind of funny. We've been talking about it a little bit recently, is that as much as the dreaded 3 hours happens every Monday night on Raw, and you know there's dead air, there's stuff that ends up happening, like Ty Dillinger not getting on TV after, what, he's been on for 2 weeks now?
Yeah.
So it's just like, you really kind of need those type of people to be on TV all the time when they first get introduced.
The 10 thing was over. There were a lot of Ty Dillinger shirts, but the man himself did not get to come out for the people.
Oh, well, I'm still a little lost. Are you on the Ty Dillinger train?
It's a little different for me. I spent a little bit of time wrestling and training in OVW a long time ago.
Okay.
This is 2006. And Ty Dillinger was one of my trainers, believe it or not.
Ah, okay.
Back in the Sean Spears days. So I'm a big fan of him as a person and as a hard worker.
Gotcha.
I'm happy that he's found this gimmick that is working and appears to be getting him over, but we'll see how long it lasts. It's one of those things that could give him a long-lasting career on the indies even after this is done. He could be out of here in 6 months. Who the hell knows? It's too soon to call, really.
Yeah, so I will equate that to Johnny Gargano in my sphere, at least, having caught him quite early in his career. I was, oh my god, someone completely just went into the boards and did not hit their intended target and went face first. It was too funny.
That's fantastic.
But having watched Gargano since, like, I think his second year in wrestling, it's one of those things that almost no matter what, I pretty much love what he does. You know, I'm always, I'm definitely pulling for him. I would guess the hands-on experience would make that all the more strong of a feeling, so.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, and that was something I didn't really know about him. I guess I still, I'm starting to realize that he was on the indies for a long time, and, you know, he, like you said, he seems to be really finding his foothold in the WWE, at least.
Yeah, he has not been a developmental that whole time. He got cut at some point. Spent a few years away and came back.
Yeah,
he's been down there, I think, since before the network even launched. So that's a good 3.5 years, again, in developmental.
Right.
This guy had to believe that light was never going to come. he's a solid story of hard work paying off. He's probably about 35 years old now, finally getting a shot on the national stage. And good for him, man. He's a good guy. He's earned every bit of it.
Yeah, well, then that does suck that, you know, a night after the WWE actually allows the a hometown person to win, in this case,
right,
Alexa Bliss, they can't even trot out the perfect 10 for Louisville.
Well, according to Jinder Mahal, we don't deserve good things, so...
Now, that was one where, I mentioned it right before we started recording. I was watching SmackDown as we were recording last night, so I didn't hear the speech. of Mahal, and then I was dumb enough. I'm like, oh, I'll go back and listen to this stuff. But I came to the end of the show, and just out of habit, click, delete. And I'm like, oh, shit. I have no idea what anyone said.
It was essentially just kind of your... It was very Muhammad Hassan-esque. He was saying that he was angry that we weren't happy for him because he was different, but that he was educated and that he could speak multiple languages. And essentially a "you're persecuting me for no reason" kind of speech. A lot of people did not know who the Bollywood boys were that ran interference for him. I watch a little bit of NXT. I'm familiar with the Bollywood boys, and I thought it was Eddie and Primo Cologne. That shows how much I know about anything.
Well, even on TV, they did not show them particularly well, and they didn't really dwell on them after the fact either. I didn't feel like. Like, normally you get, like, a close-up of the accomplices at some point, or them running off or something of, of that nature, and I don't really remember that at all.
Noah, the Jinder did a promo, and I thought for sure he would introduce them as his guys, and that just didn't happen. It was just all about Jinder and his sudden ascension to the number one contendership, which, according to Twitter, means that WWE is going to go bankrupt at some point in the next 12 hours. Let these neckbeards tell it, and the world's going to end any day now.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of funny. Mahal is such a blank slate. Like, I really don't know anything about him. I had no idea. You know, he could have told me he was educated years ago if he wanted to, but he was in 3MB. And, right. I don't, what, he came up as, like, a benefactor for the Great Khali, didn't he, initially?
That sounds right.
And that didn't really lead much anywhere either, though. Like, I didn't feel like he had that much mic time in that role because he was arguing with the translator half the time. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had to argue with the translator.
Well, they,
of course, I don't know why he needed a translator at that point either, though.
I think, well, it was because Khali couldn't say anything without sounding like he had a mouthful of roast beef.
Fair enough.
They seemed like they're writer guys, so they gave him that job. But with Mahal, I was telling somebody yesterday afternoon when they announced this six-man match for the top contendership that Mahal's not a bad wrestler. He's just there. He hasn't done too much that's notable since the three-man band stuff other than find his vitamins and say his prayers to get absurdly jacked. I mean, this guy has more muscles in his veins than I have in my arms. It's just absurd.
I'm
interested to see if this push lasts until the next quarterly wellness test myself. I'm not going to say he's on the gas, but I would not be surprised, allegedly, if he was on the gas.
Yeah, I mean, it did crack me up that he already said something on Twitter, at least, that he wasn't on anything funny. It's just like, dude, you've got to expect these questions. Like, I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, you've been around this long. You've never looked this good.
And
right. Looking that good at an older age takes even more effort. And it's like, come on, man. Just saying.
Hey, just like John Cena very specifically says, he never did anabolic steroids. Don't ask me about anything else, but I've never done anabolic steroids. Maybe it's another situation with this educated man having educated friends who can get him things. Or maybe he's just a really hard worker and I'm just a negative Nancy. I mean, who the hell knows? I don't know this guy.
And again, I guess because he's a blank slate, he could become something. Like, they've kind of left things wide open on SmackDown, and someone could, like him, step up. I don't know.
Well, if you remember back when Sheamus first won the championship, it was a similar thing where it just kind of came from out of nowhere. He got this gimmick match against John Cena where he didn't have to actually pin him. He was able to put him through a table. And all of a sudden, you have this brand new giant ginger bastard that's a world champion. I mean, they could do the same thing with this this well-educated, double-language-speaking, jacked-up Indian fella.
Yeah, so, I mean, or he could just be a stopgap for Randy Orton. And
do not rule that out.
That is certainly an option. So we'll find out soon enough. So yeah, the neckbeards, for a number of reasons, can just calm the fuck down.
Because yeah, there's even apps out there that you can kiss a girl if you want, fellas. I mean, refocus that energy elsewhere. Your hearts will go on. I believe you.
So yeah, I mean, that was one of the big points of SmackDown. I would always go with an AJ Styles match is a big part of SmackDown. I guess, was it any better live?
AJ Styles carries himself like an absolute star. He had the people in the palm of his hands from the second he came out there. The thing that was a little weird about that match, I mean, Baron carried his part well too, but at the finish, I don't know how it came across on television, but it looked live as the ref counted to 10 while they were both still out of the ring, and then AJ slipped back in. The referee had this oh shit look on his face, called for the bell, and AJ's music started playing, so we just went with it because, you know, fuck Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I got, even without the sound, I'm like, something doesn't look right here.
It definitely looked botched. I was pretty close. I was in the sixth row.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah, we were on that side of the ring where, right by the announce table, where AJ got backdropped into the face of America, Kevin Owens.
Oh, yes. Face of America.
Because why wouldn't the face of America be a pudgy Canadian? It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, the WWE loves the irony angle with the heels. So I am not surprised that they've gone that route. And plus, he kind of needed something to help out, or to change a little bit, I guess, at least.
Yeah, they actually sent Kevin Owens locally to sign autographs at the Cricket Wireless store.
Ooh.
To sign prepaid burner phones for the local drug dealers and cheating husbands. But it looks like he had a nice turnout. You know, he's a friendly guy from all accounts. A buddy of mine actually had a fun encounter with at the time, Kevin Cena at an independent show years ago, where Kevin took off my friend's shoe and threw it across the gymnasium. And Kevin saw him and recognized him. Hey, man, I took your shoe. How are you? So that's always a good time when you get those up close and personal stories at the Cricket store in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh yeah, that's outstanding. I mean, because it's playful enough. It Cricket Wireless, how big can that be, really? If you lose your shoe in there, don't have to go that far.
Absolutely.
And it's Kevin Owens. Like, I would almost be angry if there wasn't some insulting going on, because he still plays heel well on Twitter, even when he's not in character.
Right. I mean, he's a man who loves his kids and loves the zoo. I mean, he's got to work extra hard to get me to boo him at this point.
Oh, man. But, well, did he get... I guess he's one of those guys. Is he getting more boos than cheers, or is that a bit of a split crowd?
He had more fans than you would think in Louisville, for sure.
Okay.
I've compared him in the past to kind of the ethnic babyface for internet nerds. In a similar vein to Pedro Morales and Bruno back in the day. He's a... I mean, you got to respect the work ethic with him. He's a hardworking guy who's been at this for a long time with a fairly decent amount of visibility even before getting signed.
Yeah.
At this point, I think he's appreciated by the hardcore WWE fans more for his work ethic and the fact that he is consistently entertaining. I mean, Louisville, Kentucky is not going to be the smarky smart crowd. I mean, there were people openly calling for Jerry Lawler and Tommy Rich, baby. Let's get fired up with superstar Bill Dundee, brother.
Oh. Yeah, I saw one of those events advertised for Circleville this weekend, which is just southeast of Columbus. I'm not sure I can handle that. Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas is the main event.
Any of you grandchildren who may follow me on Facebook or Twitter know that I am well versed at traveling to these small town shitty independent shows and just having an absolute blast seeing no names and has-beens do their thing for $10. I'd recommend checking it out at least for the first hour of the show. Don't make the mistake of signing up for the 50-50 raffle and getting roped into staying for the entire show.
Well, I think that is the one thing that is decent about it. I believe it's only 2 hours. I think it's 7 to 9. So it's a pretty reasonable length.
Yeah, the last one I went to was a roster of 10 guys, and they did 4 hours.
Oh my god.
And they just kept recycling those 10 guys into different matches. It was pure, unadulterated dog shit.
Oh, wow.
That's the infamous show where my ticket number was randomly drawn in a prize drawing, and I won a Gillette Razor 4-pack.
Yes. Yes,
the show ran for so long that I almost shaved after the second hour to finish the show without a beard.
Well, I'm going to guess that being at SmackDown Live and 205 Live did not feel like it drug out that long.
No, the live show didn't start until 7:45, so 15 minutes before airtime.
Okay.
The dark match was Tyler Breeze and Fandango against everybody's favorite team, the Ascension.
Ooh. And
those guys look like they could main event any flea market this side of the Mississippi River. And it wasn't bad. Breeze and Fandango, I don't want him to call me angrily about mispronouncing his name.
Oh, well, it's very important. He always listens.
That's right. I know he's a big fan, but they worked hard and put together a good match. It was entertaining. And then they trotted the dark match out after 205 Live. I think they hit the ring at 10:55, and we were on the road by 11:10.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, not at all. It was just the right time, really.
Yeah, if the parking at the Schottenstein Center wasn't in Never Never Land compared to where the arena actually is. I think it got out of Rod about the same time. And it's a pretty short trip from the shot to my place. So, parking location and the parking situation, getting out, did not like the way the police organized things. This go around.
Bit of a side story here. I went with my good friend Justin, who lives in Indiana. Louisville, Kentucky is right on the border between Kentucky and Indiana, so I had him meet me at the local hospital there in Jeffersonville, Indiana. He texts me and says, "Hey man, I'm at a park bench in front of the hospital. There's this guy here who seems nervous as hell. How far away are you?" Well, this is a hospital I used to work at. I smartened him up, said, "Hey, man, that's which door are you at?" He explained to me where he was. I said, "Man, that's where they discharge these psych patients. You may want to get up and relocate yourself because you may about to be raped and or murdered." So, yeah, I found him sitting next to a very nervous-looking gentleman in an orange shirt. I didn't even bother pulling over to stop. I just cruised up to the curb in the middle of this busy intersection and told him to hop in. We're getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, that sounds like it was a good plan. But did you have any exiting problems, though? It sounds like your exit was a bit better better off than mine.
No, this is only the second wrestling show they've had at the KFC Yum Center, which is top 10 just worst name for an arena ever. Goddamn Kentucky. But the way this arena is set up, there's only exits at one end of the arena. And luckily our section was right by that exit, so we were able to shoot right out and not have to stand in the long, horrid line trying to exit. If there's ever a fire in that place, there will be mass casualties, I assure you. But the parking is connected to the arena, so yeah, we were able to get right out to our car and get right on the road with no issues.
Nice. Yeah, that part would have been appreciated, but you know, life happens. Well, and I guess to get back to him, because I asked about Owen's reaction. You said that Styles had everyone in the palm of his hand. Talked about the weird ending. Is there anything else to talk about those guys?
Not particularly. I think Baron Corbin is underrated at this point. He's really stepped up his game in the last year. I mean, he's not going to put on a five-star Toshiaki Kawada-style classic. But you give him a guy who can work around him, and he'll stay out of his own way. You know, he's more than capable of putting on a decent match at this point.
Yeah, I've been pretty happy with him recently, and the work with anyone working with AJ Styles is just, it's kind of like when anyone worked with Chris Benoit back in the day. It always seems like it helps the wrestler become a better wrestler.
Right.
So, yeah, Baron Corbin being in there with AJ Styles at this point is only going to be to his benefit. But
he's coming off WrestleMania with that match with Ambrose that wasn't bad. And it seems like he's had a couple good to decent matches lately. I'm not a real thorough week-to-week watcher. I just kind of catch it when I can.
Okay.
But yeah, he hasn't seemed out of place at all since getting called up. I'll give him that much credit.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I think he took a little bit to find his footing, but he's definitely found it at this point. So, what else big happened there on, I pulled up a SmackDown review and I'm not even, looking at,
Charlotte is now the number one contender for the SmackDown ladies. She pinned Naomi. Surprisingly, Charlotte was a big time babyface in front of the Kentucky faithful. In the opening segment, Charlotte, was cutting a little promo. Essentially, heelish tendencies demanding her title shot. Right. And Naomi came out to interrupt, laid down the challenge, and then proceeded to cheap shot Charlotte, which I think kind of turned the crowd against her, surprisingly. But there was no real cheating to speak of in the match. It was a pretty straight-up match by both of them. But yeah, the Louisville loves some Charlotte Flair, believe it or not.
Yeah, I did actually get to listen to that part before we started the show. I guess I'm not surprised in a lot of ways. Just because, she's just been that good in the ring. Like,
right.
So I guess it's not surprising that that people are digging her, and Naomi's that's just been a really weird one. I don't quite understand why people aren't into the entrance more. It always seems really cool to me, but the people do not seem to have taken to her all that well.
No, she's very athletic. She's good at what she does. She does fun things, that spot with the alternating kicks, where she kind of hopscotches and kicks at the same time, is like something out of Street Fighter 2, and that's damn incredible. But yeah, something with her just not connecting with the people as a whole, for sure. Meanwhile, Charlotte, she gets time to talk every week. She's got, you know, pedigree. People are familiar with her story. And as good as she is, I think it was only a matter of time before she kind of turned babyface on her own.
Well, and I've found it kind of funny. I feel like she has emphasized the flair part here recently, which is helping to change the crowd, too. Like, just because she had distanced herself from her dad, using the name kind of helps bring it up, make it a little more visible.
And I think moving brands, because the only woman on SmackDown that had got much emphasis lately was Alexa, who has now changed to Raw. So you have Charlotte, who has had all this emphasis placed on her on television, but she was in there with Sasha, who's over as a babyface, and Bayley, who's over. Meanwhile, she shifted to SmackDown, where there's not really any dominant personalities. You have Becky Lynch, who is probably the crowd favorite, but she's hasn't had much spotlight lately. Nah, so I think Charlotte's going to end up kind of a default lead babyface, even if that's not what they're intending.
It's kind of an interesting spot that that they're in with her. I guess I wish they still had more Becky Lynch, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like did they only have the one woman? No, they had two women segments, because all the other women are all bent out of shape about Charlotte already getting a match.
Yeah, James Ellsworth just needs to kick rocks at this point. I think he's outlived his usefulness. I've made the comment on social media that he looks like he should be watching UFC pay-per-views at the Buffalo Wild Wings with his goofy-ass knockoff Affliction shirts and his backwards hat, looking like Fred Durst's meth cousin. But yeah, just seeing all those girls together, you have Natty, who's been with the company for ages now. I don't see her breaking out again anytime soon. Carmella's really the only one of that group that has real breakout potential at this point, but God knows how long that's going to take.
Well, yeah, that's... I guess I felt like the women on SmackDown, they were doing a better job of kind of working with them, but now that we're going through this with Charlotte here, it's kind of making me think that the last couple of months weren't that good for SmackDown in the ladies' department.
Well, it's been okay, but Alexa Bliss was the personality of the division, and now that she's gone and she took Mickie James with her,
yeah,
it's kind of left them at a deficit.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a problem. I mean, and the funny thing is, I felt like more of the women on SmackDown were babyface for some reason. But there really are more heels. Like you said, Natalya is a heel, Carmella's a heel, and who else was it? Alicia Fox was there?
I don't know if she was part of that or no. Was it Tamina Snuka, maybe?
Oh, Tamina.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I knew that there was someone else in there. But yeah, I mean, they're all heels. And I guess that does leave Charlotte as a babyface in that situation.
Especially with the other heels kind of forming an alliance against her. That, I mean, who the hell are you supposed to cheer for in that situation?
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, Charlotte. You know, and that's what Louisville's just starting the new trend.
Oh God! If Louisville starts setting trends, and we just need to light a match.
Oh man, and I'm trying to think of. And I I saw the name. You got first video package of Nakamura, but then you did get some dark match Nakamura. So I'm sure that that was not such a bad thing to have happen.
No, and being that the visceral reaction against Jinder Mahal winning the opener, the crowd had that much positive energy towards Shinsuke Nakamura, which is surprising to me, being that he hasn't yet wrestled on WWE television, you know, for the wide mass crowd, you know. But as soon as the video package hit, the crowd got excited for him. They were with him. The crowd that did stay through 205 Live in the main event, I'd say there were probably about 40% of the people left were with him 100% of the way, even though a good portion of them apparently did not get the memo that Dolph Ziggler has been a heel for some time. So there were some dueling chants. But yeah, Nakamura's over. Whatever they're doing with him at this point is working. I'm assuming his first match at this point might actually be on whatever the next pay-per-view will be for them.
Yeah, I would have to think so.
Which, I don't think that's until May, if they're willing to put it off that long.
Yeah, I don't know if they are or not. You know, that is a long. I did forget about that because Payback's first, and then the SmackDown.
I believe it's Backlash in May.
Yeah, Backlash is in May. Because those other chuckleheads had to remind me of that.
Now the other big news coming out of SmackDown was American Alpha just getting bodied by the Cologne brothers or cousins, whatever the hell they are. These guys still in their Shining Stars tights, didn't even bother getting new gear made yet. Got a relatively clean pin, I believe. I mean, there was just a little bit of referee distraction shenanigans, but
yeah, that was about
kick to the face and a roll up, and that was it. American Alpha not really doing too much, and the crowd wasn't with them all that much either. They got the weakest babyface reaction of the night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they got tossed out there and have not been given any forum whatsoever to talk in. And it has done them zero favors. Zero favors.
And NXT came to town for a house show the weekend before the brand split. American Alpha worked... they worked the Revival on that show, and then they worked again in the main event in a big 10-man fiasco. But they were very popular in this city at that time. One of the biggest reactions of the night was for American Alpha. And then just to come back not even a year later and you can hear crickets, I mean, that's telling. They've really dropped the ball with those guys.
Yeah. It's been really strange to have that happen to them. And I guess I was looking forward to an Usos American Alpha feud, but honestly, the way that it's played out, it wasn't what I expected at all, and not as good as I expected it to be either.
No, I mean, the matches themselves have been okay, but the booking and there's been no character work to speak of, really, outside of the Usos dressing more street is really it. The feud started with Alpha winning 18 straight. And then the Usos coming back to take the titles from them later on without much going on in the middle. And it has not been great at all.
They just already need a reboot, which is weird to say.
Right. Act that hasn't even been on the main roster for 10 months yet already needs to be freshened up. That's absurd.
Yeah. And one that was just... I mean, they kind of... You couldn't reintroduce Gable to Jordan, but you could at least explain the back history a little bit to explain their buddy-buddiness.
Right. I mean, you have this story of Chad Gable being a legit Olympian and Jason Jordan being a high-end collegiate wrestler, I think, at Indiana... I mean, you can show these clips. I have training vignettes almost like Rocky IV style. These guys out there rolling on the mats, getting their game tight. But no, instead they're just two assholes out there in matching gear doing their thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I think they liked them at first, but again, like, they've just kind of done their thing and left, and that's it.
That's a lot of wasted potential there, unfortunately. Chad Gable in particular, if you were our buddy Cameron put it best, if Chad Gable were 6 inches taller, he'd be in line for a world title shot by now.
Oh, yeah, there isn't a wrestler I enjoy watching more than him. He just seems so smooth in the ring. And, yeah, I there's nothing I don't like about him in the ring. Like, he's one of the, I'm almost surprised that he hasn't beaten out, you know, just because there are a lot of smaller guys on the roster now. He hasn't kind of helped beat that stereotype.
Right.
But, I don't know. Like, it's just weird what the WWE's done with them. I believe Jeremy said, he was wondering whose Wheaties they pissed in.
It's probably Dunn, K.
And I'm trying to think of who else really. Yeah, because I mean, we talked a little bit about Owens, and that match is certainly not worth talking about at all.
No, I don't know who Gary Gandy is. Here in Louisville, we tend not to produce wrestlers who wear fringe on their tights. He may have been from a local indie, but yeah, I was glad to see that guy who even managed to fuck up a pop-up powerbomb get in and out of there in less than an hour, or less than a minute, I should say.
Oh.
Now, the other, they had the big reveal on 205 Live that Rich Swann has apparently been buying Alicia Fox gifts. All to catfish her because she set up his boy Cedric Alexander at some point. For those 8 of you that watch 205 Live, we'll probably know more about the story than I do.
Oh, okay. I saw that Alicia Fox bid adieu to Noam Dar. I did not realize that he was catfishing her.
I guess he'd been sending her gifts for several weeks, and then he waited until she dumped Noam Dar to reveal that it was all a ruse, and that handsome devil was able to woo her away from Noam just to leave her for dead there on the curb. She cut a great, I won't say great, but it was an entertaining promo after the match where she's freaking out and calling herself the Queen of Kentucky. she actually was also in developmental at the same time that I was kicking around there. She was, her initial training was in the same beginner's class that I was in. And a fun little story that I can tell here on air for the first time. I've told it in private to several people. We were working a drill one time where she was to throw a punch, shoot me into the ropes, I reverse, and she comes back with a crossbody. This girl, God bless her, punches me in the jugular as hard as she can. whips me into the ropes, I reverse her, she comes off, and she is so light because she can't weigh 115 pounds that I almost forgot to bump.
Oh.
Both for me trying to catch my breath after getting punched in the throat by her. And then the fact that she's light as a feather. I thought it was a fun little callback that she was calling herself the Queen of Kentucky because she hasn't been here since 2007, 2008. I mean, it's been a long time.
did she call herself the Queen of Kentucky then?
Yeah, she was on a rant talking about how she made Louisville. She was the Queen of Kentucky. I don't know if that made air. I'm like, I wonder how many people know what the hell she's talking about, because Louisville has not been the developmental league for a long time now.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
In fact, it couldn't be any longer than 2008.
Oh, yeah, I think that sounds about right. I do not have encyclopedic knowledge, and I do not feel like looking it up on Wikipedia at the current moment, so... It is what it is. Who did you get to see? Like, I did not watch 205 live. Is there what? There's usually two, maybe three matches.
I think there were three. The opener was Tony Nese losing to Akira Tozawa. Tozawa was pretty popular live. He had more of a response than I thought he would. Tony Nese is kind of nondescript, short, strong fella. Aria Davari wrestled... I can't even remember now.
Oh, didn't he wrestle the other...
Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, Mustafa Ali.
And he did a skit where he came to the arena in a Corvette and told the valet not to wreck his Corvette. Which, we actually have a Corvette museum about 2 hours south of here.
Oh.
That he... may or may not have borrowed that car from. I don't know the facts on that.
Yeah.
And then the main event was TJ Perkins and Austin Aries.
And, who ended up winning that? I would assume...
it was Austin Aries with the 450, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you remember the results of the match better than I did, because I had already forgotten the Cruiserweight tag team match that had occurred prior to Raw.
Which, Austin Aries is getting the title match at Payback, so I guess it would make sense for him to roll over. They did a beatdown after the match with TJP and the little hobbit fella. Can't even think of his name now.
Neville?
Neville, yes, Neville. Neville was putting the boots to him and had him in a Rings of Saturn-esque maneuver while TJP was sitting in front of him Indian style taunting him, so that was a fun little finish to 205 Live.
That's... I don't know. How much of the crowd stuck around for 205 Live?
About a third of the crowd immediately left when SmackDown ended, which was better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Throughout the course of the show, I'd say by the end of it, we were down to about 40% of the crowd left. The guy next to me was drinking beers throughout the night, was pretty toasty by the end of it. And he was, early in the show, asked if we were staying for 205, and I told him, we'll kind of play it by ear. He says, man, I hear that after the show, when everybody leaves, they just start filling the empty seats with people, letting them move up. And he was really looking forward to this. Well, during the second match of 205 Live, the entire second row of my section gets up and leaves. So he goes on up, and he gets super pissed because the usher has his flashlight out and is checking ticket stubs. And won't let anyone fill those seats. He comes back, full of $12 beers. Motherfucker thinks he's the policeman. And then right before the main event, they actually brought down a bunch of families from the upper decks to fill those empty seats.
Oh.
He said, well, maybe if I had 8 kids, I could sit there too. Dude, settle down. You're going to be all right. We're in the 6th row. We're doing just fine.
Life could not have been that bad in the 6th row. Me, on the other hand, I'm perfectly okay being up on a slightly higher perch.
Yeah, this was the first WWE TV taping in Louisville since 2010.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there had been some big controversy with the... we actually still had a Kentucky Boxing and Wrestling Commission.
Uh-huh.
That actually licenses wrestlers like it's fucking 1945 or some shit.
Jeez.
And they wanted the authority to stop the taping altogether if there was even a hint of blood.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, that kept WWE out of the state for 7 years. We got a new governor last year, Steve Beshear. I won't get into politics here. He's a bit of a dipshit most of the time.
Right.
But the one thing he did was eradicate that commission to get that money back into the state. So God bless him for that one.
Gotcha. Yeah, anyway, I did not
realize that. We had a Raw here in 2010, and the last pay-per-view in Kentucky was in 2006 with Backlash 06, with the great main event of God and Shawn Michaels against the McMahons. So yeah, God main event at Rupp Arena in 06.
Well, I mean, if God is in the arena, he should main event it, so...
I don't know if God closed the show. I was not present at that show. He may have done the old Jobski to John Cena's title defense. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Obviously, that was the one odd thing that I found. Normally, they tell us when the next event's going to be in town. And I do not know when that is at all. Like, that was one of those things that it's usually after the show ends or, like, right before the main event segment, they go, oh, they're coming back to Columbus on whatever date it is. And they did not have that at the end of the taping. Did you guys get anything about when the next live event might be coming back, though?
No, they did not make any announcements, but I read somewhere recently, I believe there was some a schedule leaked somehow that showed we're getting a show on a Sunday night in December. So with that being a Sunday, I'm not sure if that's going to be a pay-per-view or just a run-of-the-mill house show. I'll be interested to see how that pans out. The attendance was good last night, so it would not shock me at all to see a pay-per-view brought back by the end of the year.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, with it, only being, you mentioned that it was only 3 hours between, Columbus and, Louisville there, so, I think if there's a pay-per-view involved, I might have to make a trip southward to come to that if that, does come to fruition.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to have you down here and let you visit the great Against the Grain Brewery here in Louisville, Kentucky, which is just a few minutes from the KFC Yum Center.
Oh, nice. That is always a good thing to do. I don't need to spend the money on the $10 beers, although I do usually grab myself at least one frosty beverage at said events.
Of course.
So, yeah. Okay, well, I think that about wraps things up, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we've covered just about every base we can cover from the Blue Brand this week.
Excellent. Well, this is at DeFrango11. That is Steve Dub RN. And the brand is at Stunt Granny. And everyone have a good night. And I'll let Steve take it away since it's his first show.
All right, well, in memory of a great man who may or may not actually do podcasts anymore, my name is Steve Williams for Kevin DeFrango. This is Stunt Granny. We'll try to do better next time.